guys, how's it going? Welcome to Storytime with Tofu, episode 3. Yeah, I do apologize. I know it's been a while. You know what? I just got a little caught up with moving from New York. I'm now somewhat settled here in Seattle, but hopefully this will now be a weekly podcast. So thank you for bearing with me for the long wait. But anyway, what we're going to talk about today mostly is the new HBO series Ballers. I'm pretty sure all of you, because yes, I know all of you are watching Game of Thrones, where I think it was like episode 4, and I just saw this like a very entourage like trailer for a show where I just saw The Rock being big and awesome, because The Rock, I mean, that's what he does best. He's big and awesome. He's just killing it in Miami, wearing, you know, custom suits and rocking some shades. And of course, like, overall, just living it up. But you know what? At the time, I was like, this is a joke. I was, you gotta be kidding me. Like, what is HBO doing? And then I kind of thought back and was like, geez, let's see, what was happening on HBO last summer at this time? And I was like, oh my god, Leftovers. And I was like, yeah, okay, they needed something a little bit brighter this summer, because I think that just bummed everyone out. Like, I knew so many critics who gave up on that show or just were like, this is not fun to watch. I think Bill Simmons said in a podcast he just did not make it past the first episode. He was just like, this is dumb. You know, I like the show, but, you know, I'm happy HBO is taking a little bit more perspective here and using The Rock to bring in a great summer audience, which I assume is getting great ratings. But what I'm saying is, when I first saw that trailer, I'm like, great, we got some more trash television to start watching, and I'm excited. Well, I was not originally going to podcast about this series for that exact reason, but I just caught up. I'm caught up. I've seen through episode 3, and I've actually really thought about everything I've seen, and I'm just like, this is a really good show. And I'm going to hopefully try and tell you why right now. It does have its entourage moments, and I agree with you. It is, you know, that kind of bro vision. There's a lot of sports talk, especially, not that that makes it bro vision, but, you know, it's attempting to attract that kind of audience. And yes, there are boobs. There are tons of boobs. And I think at least 4 pairs of fake boobs. But anyway, beyond the boobs, there is a lot of great commentary going on in this show, and done at a much higher level than ever was done in the early seasons of Entourage, fun as they are. And, you know, I'm also bringing this up because a colleague of mine asked me, hey, would I like this show? I read it's a lot like Entourage, but I never watched Entourage. And I'm like, well, you know, I think it's a good show, but, you know, knowing you, I think there's a lot of other great stuff on television you could be watching, especially with the new, like, Netflix and Amazon boom that's happening. But we decided to watch it together, and he does enjoy it, although I did have to explain a couple sports references to him and such. But I was wrong in suggesting that if you don't like Entourage, you know, or if you haven't seen that, you won't be able to watch this show. That's just, at this point, a really selfish and inaccurate thing for me to say. What I will say is Entourage will prepare you for this show, because there are a lot of homages, such as, like, the party scenes. You know, there's a very gratuitous, like, phone call sex scene in the first episode with a girl just on top of this agent, you know, just banging him, you know, fake tits in the screen, just screaming, tell me I'm gonna win the LPGA. And it's like, oh my god, what am I watching? It's like this is a scene that, you know, you don't want your roommates, like, walking in your room with. Or, like, if you have headphones on and you see, like, there's a naked girl on your screen, people are like, what are you doing, dude? It's the middle of the day. But beyond all of that Entourage homage-esque stuff, I was saying there's a lot of great commentary in this series. And to start, you know, let me break it down. Entourage, really the first season, I guess you get a lot of great side character action from Ari and such, but it doesn't so much feel about the individual characters as for it definitely feels like a show about, like, this friend group. This one friend group is the main character. Like, And definitely as the seasons progress, you know, Johnny Drama, Turtle, they all get their own stories. But, you know, everything is very, very, very centered around Vince for those first two seasons. You know, his woes and whims and, you know, Drama and Turtle's endeavors are like purely comic relief. You know, parts of episode one of this series feel like that, but the rest of it does not. And The Rock definitely anchors in as the POV main character of the series for me. And that already shows me something very, very different from Entourage. And you know, I actually have to give a lot of credit to The Rock. I've always been a big fan of his, but I did not expect this kind of dramatic role from him, to be honest with you. He, how do I put it? You know, I love his old movies, like where he's still The Rock. He's still The Rock. He can't be Dwayne Johnson, like, you know, The Rundown. And, you know, I love the Scorpion King movie and all of those. But I'm very, very impressed. Oh, and of course, the Fast movies where he's wearing a child's medium Under Armour and just covered in oil. But sorry, I digress. But, you know, it's nice to see him in this role where he's kind of not on like top of the world. In a lot of the other movies, he's not necessarily the big boss or on top of the world, but he's got all the confidence in the world he needs. He is The Rock. He is the unstoppable force of awesome that is gonna take a wooden piece of timber and destroy your casino because you gave his little cousin drugs. Like, this is that character that he's personified as in the movies, and especially in like the Fast series. And this movie, I mean, in this series, he is not that person anymore. He is trying to be that person, or as I like to think about it, still trying to be that old hard-ass football player who was like on everyone's list. Everyone's talking about him, and it is really, really great to see him just struggling with that, as well as wanting to, you know, dig deeper into this this Spencer's past and just like, yo, what kind of player were you? What was this real downfall like? And I'm kind of glad we haven't had a full flashback, really. It's more just the way he talks, the way he's trying to resell his life to another player, A, to spare him the, you know, the trauma, but also, you know, bring himself up again. But that is just like, that just is so much better than what like Vince was doing in Entourage. Like, you know, again, you can look at those, you know, party, you know, Steven Levinson, like, let's show boobs and drugs and a great time and fantasize the whole millionaire experience. But more so, he gave these people almost like, I don't want to say souls, but he gave them real lives in a fantastical world, if I want to say that. And you know, even the side characters like, you know, Charles Green, the lineman who's retired too early, like, you know, he's a big comic relief character, and you kind of see him playing almost with this addictive feeling of being on top. And like, that's just awesome. You know, like, I feel like Vince, it took a whole season of Vince doing that, and we're just getting a real taste of this from multiple characters in the beginning of Ballers. Like, that's awesome. You know, you see that waning career of Jared, you know, he's a slot, I think. God, I wish I knew more about football as well, but I think he's a slot player, you know, and just, you know, he's not the best anymore, and that blows. Like, I guess it's not so relatable to me, which I guess makes it fascinating, because I've never considered myself someone on top, really. Like, I've always felt somewhat in the shadow of others, which, not others, but I mean, like, I've never felt like, I was never worshipped on campus or anything like that. I was never like a star athlete or anything, so I've never, I suppose, had that taken away from me. And watching that happen on screen is, for the first time, just kind of awesome to see the threads unravel. And, you know, oh, excuse me, took a little water break. But, you know, I just feel kind of terrible now for almost saying, like, when I saw that trailer, like, this is going to be trash because there's a lot of gold in this, what looks like gilded bronze, I suppose, because the rocks is gold and bronze. But what I'm telling you is watch the series with more than just I'm going to see some boobs and drugs, okay? Like, that's all I ask of you, because you will see a lot more and get a lot more from that. You know, and along with that, I'm sorry, I'm just trying to think of what we should talk about next. But I really think, you know, as well as that, it really did capture what Entourage did do as well, though, which is create, you know, this fantasized version of being, you know, a superstar of, like, not this Hollywood scene, but, you know, the Miami Dolphins lifestyle in Florida. And that's I guess something I also wasn't expecting as well, because maybe it's because I've watched too much Blue Mountain State, but I also thought it was just gonna be out of proportion. It was gonna feel like when, you know, Law and Order SVU does a like sports athlete sexual assault episode. Like, it's like, oh, he just got drafted and blah blah blah. Like, just horrible satirizing, as well as just like trying to mimic what's actually happening. But, you know, when you hear Jared's character, especially going like, you know, I like to thank God and you know, Jesus for giving me this chance. And, you know, my coaches and stuff, like, they just nailed that in a way I've just never seen before in a show. Like, I think Blue Mountain State wasn't trying to do that. But, I mean, you didn't see any of that in that show. It was very satirized very well and hysterically. But this is just like, it's like I'm watching SportsCenter almost, like hearing the guy's comment and such. What I really recommended, though, is I don't know the most football players in the world. I'm getting better, but, you know, I'm more of an NBA guy. So I watched the pilot with my friend Kevin, who's really into the NFL. And so he could point out to me all the NFL cameos, but I've noticed there are a lot of them. I think Josh Cribbs is in the first episode. I think Deion Sanders is in the first episode. But yeah, it's riddled with NFL superstars, and their acting is so much better than in the league, probably because they give them real lines instead of maybe having to improv with like a really funny cast. But all I noticed was like Josh Cribbs in the league is like, yo, Ruxin, man, why would you do that to me? It's like, yo, dude, do you not know where to look at the camera right now? Or, like, what are you doing? Whereas in this, he's, like, fully in the scene. He actually looks a lot more, like, he actually looks a lot more in shape and, like, kind of party starred out. And probably because there's a little bit more budget on HBO. But there's a lot of great stuff like that going on in Ballers. I'm curious to see, though, how Spencer's story unfolds. Because I've honestly been expecting The Rock to start, you know, clobbering people in the face. Like, you know, I was kind of expecting a harder Rock with, like I said earlier, more power. Like, he's going to be throwing his weight, his real big weight around this football scene, you know, taking some of the locker room and really, like, you know, maybe not beating him, but just, like, kicking his ass and saying, like, hey, man, get your shit together because I'm in charge. I know what was up. I've gone through this. But instead, The Rock has actually delivered some really great lectures to people. I hate to call him a lecturer, but, you know, that's what they are. He just is telling the characters how it is. He tells this, you know, kid, God, I should learn their names, Vernon, how it's going to be. He's like, dude, you just signed a $12 million contract and you're broke. Like, I think it was finally in episode two where he just gave him a great speech where he's like, hey, man, like, I know you think you have to take care of everybody, and you know, everybody definitely will be taken care of, but you earn this. You need to drive this forward, and if you don't take control of your life, you know, your family's not going to be taken care of either. And I was just like, that dude, where is this acting coming from, man? Like, this is amazing. I'm so happy about that. And and as well as that, that character Vernon is kind of like Vince. Like, it's kind of like Steven Levinson is like, like, I have an idea. Let's take a Vince character, put him in like a superstar like role, and just make him kind of like a prop. honestly, Vernon just seems like this a sweet football player who's just trying to make it right in the world. And just seeing the sharks swim around him is kind of what makes this, more fun as well. Where, you know, I hate to keep going back to Entourage, but that was kind of my point. Vince is strongly swimming, and every, like, there are just no stakes for them. And that's finally what has happened here in Ballers, is there are finally stakes for these larger-than-life superstar characters that we're supposed to believe are living in the same world with us. I don't know if humanizing is totally the right word, but because, you know, you did feel human things for, you know, the characters in Entourage. It's not like they didn't do that. But when you see people, you know, scraping harder or like trying to climb, you know, the rungs, those hard rungs in the ladder, I think you get a lot more depth, and depth creates more attachment to these characters. And, you know, again, I'm not bashing on Entourage, but within three episodes, there's a lot more to like about this show's first season than the first season of Entourage. And again, not saying Entourage didn't do all of these things in their own subtle little ways. I'm just saying we're seeing a little more refinement in Ballers and them being able to do that. And we're also seeing a lot more, a lot more, I think, sense of audience, I suppose. And probably they have a greater sense of audience because of how people have reacted to Entourage, as well as how critics have reacted to Entourage. But hopefully I'll be able to touch in upon this next week, because I think I'm going to probably hop on after next week's episode, do a little more research about the production team behind this as well. And I did hear this strange rumor flying around that the show is being sued by the NFL for, I believe, like defamation or something like that, and they want to get it pulled off the air. But again, I haven't had cable in a couple days. Sorry, in about a couple weeks, and I'm not totally up on SportsCenter news. So I apologize. I'll do a quick Google search after the podcast. But other than that, let's see. We're also going to talk about today, and feel free if you guys have any questions when I post this on Facebook or, on the email associated with the podcast on Podomatic. Feel free to, you know, text me your complaints, questions, or your suggestions, because honestly, I probably didn't cover nearly as much as deserved in Ballers. But I don't want to spend 45 minutes talking about the same show by myself. If I had a partner, that'd be a little different. So again, I love hearing from people because I like discussion and I like hearing that I'm wrong, because I'm often sometimes very wrong. So feel free to call me out on my BS. But other than Ballers, we're going to move into HBO's other comedy series, Brink. I also caught up on this because I watched the first episode. I was a little tired and I didn't hate it, but I saw it again and was not nearly as into it. I don't think the show is terrible. Honestly, it takes a lot for a show with that kind of cast to be terrible for me. But I will say there are probably funnier and better things to be watching, especially because, you know, with nowadays you can stream, you can literally watch everything. Like, I know a ton of people watching shows in the fall right now because they were busy as shit or traveling all fall. So, you know, I'm not saying it's a bad show, but on your list of things to watch, it should probably be near the bottom or not on it at all, because there's a lot greater stuff out there. Honestly, this is great popcorn. Like, I want to like have a beer and read a book, but need some distracting noise in the background. I don't know. I'm a weird, I need distractions when I read. I don't know why. Maybe that's why I suck at reading. The cast, again, is what saves the show. Jack Black is Jack Black at his finest. I'm curious to see how involved he is in the writing process, because I don't know how much is like improv or joked on set. But, you know, he's the only one that can play this character. And it's a role kind of built for him, around him. And Tim Robbins as well. Tim Robbins has been killing it. But, you know, it's a little heavy on the misogyny. This is definitely bro hour kind of comedy. But, I mean, this is the kind of show it is. it feels like it should be on Adult Swim and animated. That's like Tim Robbins is in a hotel room with a prostitute and they're talking about role play because he's tied up. And he's like, well, you know what, one of my favorite fantasies are is like, you know, the one about you trying to run away and escape from the village and stuff. Like, that's a fun game. She's like, I wasn't talking about a fantasy. That was my childhood. And I felt terrible, but I laughed out loud. I was like, oh my God, this is hilarious. But again, tired at the time. So, you know, I would argue, you know, a Family Guy S kind of satirical humor. The two fighter pilots, one of them is peddling drugs. And yes, you can see from the advertisement, like, what they take the wrong, like, kind of, I think they're trying to take, probably Xanax before the secret bombing mission of Pakistan to take out their nuclear silos. And they end up taking, like, I think they end up taking LSD or something like that. And, like, they're just really messed up. but what I'll tell you is the jokes are not hard hitting. They don't sizzle. I'm not thinking about anyone's performance beyond the scope of the episode. I don't want to. I don't need to. And frankly, that's really all that needs to be said about Brink. It's watchable, but again, unless you're following the TV scene, I don't really feel a strong need for you to tell you guys to watch that show. But I just wanted to report on it because the show, again, instead of giving us an hour of dreary shit that I did enjoy, but America did not, we're getting two comedies. So, interesting move by HBO. I'm very curious to see if they're giving the leftovers time to the fall purely because of the poor summer reception, or because if they're actually like considering like seriously revamping that show to make it more popular. I hope they're not doing the latter. I hope they really just moved it to improve ratings in the fall. And, you know, it's like, I don't know. I guess when it's sunny outside, people don't want to think about the world ending and such, as well as see really disturbing things. Not all of us are super into slasher movies and dark anime, so, you know, to each his own. But other great things we've been watching, I wanted to talk a little bit about a movie for the first time I've seen in a while. And that is, and sorry, by movie for the first time I've seen in a while, it is the first time I'm seeing it, but I also haven't gone to the movie theater in a while because I was kind of hermited up in New York for some reason. But it's a movie called Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, and it was very well received at Sundance, and my friend got some free tickets to it up here in Seattle, and so I decided to go with him. And I don't think Nate liked it as much as I did, but I really, really enjoyed the movie. It is a nice little story. I will try and keep it relatively spoiler-free because I really want you guys to go out and watch this movie. But it is a story, sadly, about a dying girl. But it's a very much, it's essentially a coming-of-age story. And it's unfortunate that there's a dying character in a coming-of-age story, but, you know, that's, you know, what's compelling these days. And frankly, as from a response from the director recently, that's, you know, something he experienced growing up and was trying to add that to the perspective of the film. And I'm not always one for taking a director's words before going into a movie as much as after, but honestly, reading the response made me kind of enjoy the movie even more when I thought about it. So I guess I normally would say don't carry anything in with you, but I suppose you could carry that in with you just if you feel like the plot is kind of self-centered, I suppose. That's the word I want to use because, you know, I feel like a lot of, I don't want to say love stories, but a lot of coming-of-age stories these days are about multiple characters for great reasons because that's the kind of world we like to create for ourselves. You know, we want to create a group of friends that love each other, that you just feel so utterly comfortable with that your life revolves around. And we definitely want to create that environment on screen because it's what the average person tries to do. This is not a movie about that average character. This is a movie more about an introverted boy who finally in his senior year is figuring out kind of how to, what the next move is. I'll leave it at this. He's made it clear he's figured out how to make it through high school, but I guess it's kind of one of those, it doesn't matter if you know what a flower is, if you've never seen it and, you know, smelt it and, you know, experienced, you know, that emotion and that feeling. It kind of, that sense of what he means when he's mastered high school. He's mastered how to go through it, not experience it. And that, of course, is tying into what happens in the movie as well. There's a lot of artistry to the way the story is told. There's a lot of homage to cinema. So if you're a big cinema buff, you're going to really enjoy the references. And you know what? The quirkiness of the cast, Nick Offerman is in it. Connie Britton is in it. And they're just wonderful. Especially Nick Offerman, because he reminds me of what I want to be as an old man. Just this, you'll see when you watch the movie. But it's a really sweet story. And, you know, now that I'm 25 and can't watch a movie, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm a 17-year-old and this is my life, blah, blah, blah. It does make you think about being a 17-year-old again. And that's really special, because there's one way to watch a movie, which you end up doing most of the time, because that's as much as you can go, is you're watching kind of a moving tapestry. You're watching a wonderful story with a lot of brightness and life unfold. But especially in a POV movie, it's very important for that tapestry not to just be in front of you, but around you, to, you know, encapsulate your every thought and moment when it's showing you something on the screen. And, you know, it's hard for this kind of quirky little movie to do that, especially when, you know, it's not necessarily about love. It's not necessarily about, like, saving the day. And although we can debate this via email if you see the movie, how the movie ends, but it's not anything about that. It's literally about a boy experiencing an event, a year / an event in his life. And gosh, you know, I haven't felt, you know, such a connection to a character, a film like that in a really, really long time. And I was just so impressed by the way this movie did that. So you'll probably have to Google it to find out what theaters it's actually showing at in your area. But I do highly, 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 highly suggest you guys go check out Me and Earl and the Dying Girl. Won a lot of awards at Sundance. So that's my two-bit on movie there. And I'll probably do a full podcast about this next week, or especially when it airs. But be on the lookout for You're the Worst. I've read a lot of articles that season two is looking really, really yummy. A lot of rich plot, darker, I think a bit of a darker path for our characters, which is nice because it is kind of a dark comedy with just utter hilarity in it. But it is more of a dark comedy in the sense that it's a little dystopic. But I think that's something that, I don't want to say our generation, but this age group faces at that time. It's like, God, it doesn't matter like what circumstances you are in life. You're just, if you haven't hit the right rhythm or you don't feel comfortable in your own shoes yet, those feelings just creep in on you, and You're the Worst really, really creates that. And I'm not saying you want to feel all of those things when you're watching a comedy, but it is really, really refreshing. And I promise you, it's really, really, really funny. So pop in your friggin' Chromecast or your Apple TVs. And if you have an Amazon Prime account, you should be able to watch and stream the entire first season of You're the Worst just in time for summer to catch up with what I consider last year's, 2014's, best new comedy and best romantic series. Two romantic characters, honestly, because we were inundated in the fall with mediocrity, and I was really, really disappointed with what I thought were great premises. But that's another conversation. So yeah, we'll keep it short today, especially because my throat is kind of sore now. I'm sorry. But I really, really would love to hear back from some people. I know this was a bit of a slower podcast. I apologize, probably because I wasn't as excited about Ballers as I have been in the past about other things. But I hope you enjoyed listening, and hopefully these will now be a weekly 20 to about 30 minute podcasts. So thanks for tuning into Storytime with Tofu. And remember, if you message me, I will give you a free week of Blue Apron until I run out of invitations. So have a great night, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.